You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with your great hosts, myself, Mark Borscht,
and George Papazov, Trade Pro Academy.
I almost forgot my name there. In today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be discussing how to break your bad trading habits and replace them with good ones so that you can finally achieve the results that you deserve. Now, traders are constantly messaging us and telling us that they're aware of the habits that are weighing them down from really achieving the success that they want, but for one reason or another, they just can't seem to stop themselves from repeating those habits over and over again. Now, the interesting thing is that these patterns, they occur at a subconscious level without our being able to control the process. And, you know, this is why it can become frustrating very quickly, and it can lead to you trading on tilt, which is when things can really start to spiral out of control. Now, if you're not familiar what trading on tilt is, it's basically trading with your emotions. When you're frustrated, when you're upset, disappointed, etc. We cover that in episode 52 on lessons you can learn from the poker table. You guys can check that out if you haven't yet. So that is what these bad habits can do. It can get you to get emotional and start trading off of your emotions. And oftentimes, you know, we've seen from our experiences here as traders and as educators that a lot of these bad habits tend to be developed early on in the trading journey. And, you know, this is especially true for those that tend to stay around in the demo environment for too long. And you don't realize it at the time, but these habits you build in demo will stick with you until you face them head on and change them, or until you get frustrated enough with the trading or the lack of the results and you decide ultimately that trading's not for you and you want to exit the industry. So our goal today with today's episode is to identify, or rather help you guys identify, some of those bad habits that you know are causing you that pain, that are causing you that frustration in your trading, and to provide you with some practical strategies to help you disrupt those patterns as they occur so that you can replace them with the habits that are ultimately going to serve you.
Awesome, Marky. Thank you for that great intro. And, you know, we're going to talk about what is a habit, what causes bad habits, the feedback loop in the show, how to break a bad habit, and give you some specific four laws of behavior changes, common bad habits in trading, and how to break those with some very actionable examples. So this is a really exciting episode. But before we get started, let us tell you a little bit of Trade Pro Academy. You know, building good habits is a critical practice. And oftentimes when you first start in your trading journey, that's the most important time. Because as hard as you try, you might logically be thinking about a certain outcome, but you're creating habits. So if you're sim trading and doing the wrong thing, you're creating bad habits for the future that make it really hard to be profitable. So good habits are critical early on. And the stock market these days has been making historic moves, creating a lot of opportunities for trained traders. Join us at Trade Pro Academy and start learning what moves markets and how to create the mindset of winners. From stocks to options to futures and trading psychology, we have everything you need for any stage of your trading career. Join our community today at tradeproacademy.com.
Awesome. That's a great message. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. I wrote it myself.
I can't imagine. It was great. So guys, let's get on to topic here. As you guys will know with us, we like to kind of define what we're going to be speaking about because that gives us the, you know, the concept, the framework to build from. So what is a habit and what causes bad habits? All right. Now, simply stated, a habit is a acquired mode of behavior that has become nearly or completely involuntary. All right. That is the formal definition that you would find in Webster's dictionary. In layman's terms, a habit is basically an action that you've taken in the past, has worked to solve a problem, which the brain now thinks is acceptable to use for all relevant situations in the future. Right? And, you know, our brains are wired to be, energy savers. They're there for max efficiency. Your brain is always going to look for max efficiency. And it's going to use habits that we've developed in the past in order to deal with situations that it commonly faces. So the purpose really of every habit is to solve a problem that you face.
Well, you know, Marky, it's important that we're covering this topic because, you know, when we think about habits, we tend to think that, you know, we have control over them, yeah. Which is great. We do, but it takes a lot of awareness and presence and energy that you have to invest in yourself to create habits. But what's more important is that we don't realize that we're not only forming habits when we mean to. You know, it's like somebody say, I want to create habits to lose weight. But it's not important what you want. It's important what you're actually doing. So the times when you're like, I want to lose weight, for example, for the habits, if you don't go to the gym and you sit at home eating potato chips, then you're actually feeding a habit that's going to be destroying your goal, not help you serve it. So what I want to talk about this is that no matter what you do, every single action creates a habit. Like Mark said, the brain wants to compute as much as possible with as little information as possible. So habits are like pre-programmed code that process the same information over and over so you don't have to consciously think of it. So remember this, everything you do forms a habit. It isn't just your intention, it's action that ultimately forms the base of these habits. So whether you know it or not, with all actions, you're creating some form of habit. Through this show, we're going to ask you guys and challenge you to decide if they're good or bad habits, how to use the feedback loop in your favor, and then how to create ultimately good habits and destroy bad ones. Now, before we continue, I want to mention a lot of this that we're going to talk about is from a book, James Clear, just to make things clear. Ba-doom. It's a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I love this book so much that I actually read it without speed reading. Like I speed read a lot of books. This one, I slowed it down a little bit to take it in 100%. Fantastic book, very actionable. And so I want to let you guys know we're taking a lot of these thoughts and applying them to trading. That book is highly worth the read. You could get a link to Amazon to purchase your copy in the show note description.
I think that's the highest form of compliment for any author. Yeah. The fact that George, you didn't speed read through the book.
Yeah, I took my time with this one. It actually took me a few hours.
And that means that the insights that you're going to get today are going to be wild.
For sure.
So what causes bad habits? All right. What causes bad habits? So now that you guys know the definition of a habit and kind of what the primary purpose of a habit is, as we explained, it is to solve problems that you face. What causes bad habits is a way of dealing with stress and boredom. All right. So bad habits address certain needs in your life. And majority of the time, it has to do with stress and boredom. So if you just think about your own day-to-day life, for example, you know, I smoke cigarettes. Georgie smokes vapes. Or vapes, I guess. You don't smoke vapes. But if you're somebody like me and you smoke a cigarette, for example, you don't smoke a cigarette because you enjoy the cigarette, right? You enjoy the cigarette or you smoke the cigarette because something triggers it, right? And to me, oftentimes, that's stress. If I'm stressed out, that usually is my trigger to deal with the stress is to smoke a cigarette. And
so, yeah. So that's the cue, right? So like before you start doing any habit, there's a cue moment. And so for you, smoking a cigarette is either boredom or I'm going to assume you want relaxation or a bit of a moment to yourself to unwind, to just escape reality a bit. Yes? Or yeah,
more so, I don't really smoke when I'm bored. It's more so as a result of stress.
Right.
So I find that it basically, the smoke gives you that relaxation or the opposite of stress, if that makes sense. But we're going to speak on here the feedback loop. We're going to take this one step further and kind of define how a habit plays out. Because a habit in itself, you might consider it as just, you know, the action that's being taken. But if you look at this a little bit closer, there's actually four stages of the habit. And, you know, Georgie already referred to this. It's referred to as the feedback loop. And this is effectively a continuous cycle that runs every moment that you're alive. All right. And more times than not, these habits, these decisions, and these four stages occur, you know, within fractions of a second. You're not really consciously aware that they're happening because, you know, like we said earlier, the brain seeks efficiency. And that's really what the subconscious does. If there's a situation that you run into and the brain has experienced a habit before that has solved the situation you're currently in, it's going to automatically apply that to your current situation. So let's take a moment and break down these four stages of the feedback loop. So the first stage, rather, we'll summarize the first four and then go through each individually. So all four of them, the first one is the cue, right? Georgie kind of mentioned that. The second is the craving. The third is the response. And the fourth is the reward. So these are your four stages of the habit or the feedback loop. All right. And so if you take a look at the first one, the cue is the one that triggers your brain to initiate the behavior. All right. It's about noticing that there is a potential reward for something.
Yeah. This is great. I mean, this pattern here, Marky, is one of the biggest takeaways from James Clear's book. But go ahead. I think I cut you off there.
Yeah, this was, you know, honestly, when I read through this, it kind of made sense. And, you know, after I go through this episode, I'm going to put in a more conscious effort to get rid of that habit that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode.
Me too. I'll take the plunge with you because this was an emergency vape today. I got to stop. I haven't had a DVT. This is the worst thing for me. So like when you look at cue, craving, response, reward, I just want to mention one thing. Like this habit, once it's formed, is just replayed. Yeah. Right? Like, you know how you want to watch something on Netflix, for example, you grab the remote, hit the button, that you look at the program you want, and now you're watching Netflix. All of those things happening lead up to the moment of you just watching the program. And so once you write this habit, the goal is from the cue moment to the reward, it's automated with zero thought process, all subconscious process, meaning that you don't have control. You know, unless you consciously make an effort to break this loop around, that's why it's a loop. The cue brings you to the reward, and the action isn't even something that you don't sit there and say, I want to smoke. You want that little bit of a break, but the cue triggers it and the reward completes it. So it's cue, craving, response, reward. Remember this, because we're going to use this for trading as well in a minute.
Exactly. And so the craving is the motivational force for that habit. Without the craving, you have absolutely no reason to act, right? You do not crave the habit, rather you crave the change in state that it provides, which is the reward, right? So the third stage is the response, right? And the response is the actual habit that you perform, right? It's about obtaining the reward, right? So the response in this case, or rather using the example that I gave guys earlier, the response in my trigger, or rather in my feedback loop, is the actual act of smoking the cigarette. All right. And then the fourth one is the reward. And the reward is, it just simply closes this feedback loop and it completes the habit cycle until you get the next cue. Right. And that's effectively how it cycles over and over and over again. Now, our brains are reward detectors. And since rewards teach our brain which habits are worth remembering in the future. So remember, this goes back to what we mentioned earlier, in that if you perform an action and it solves a solution to one of your problems, your brain is going to use that action anytime in the future for similar situations. And if it remembers the reward the first time, that's what it's going to use going forward. And so, you know, you can go even further than these four stages. All right. So those are the four stages. It's the cue, the craving, the response, and the reward. And you can kind of further categorize this into two different phases, right? There's the problem phase and then there's the solution phase. Now, the problem phase is when you realize something needs to change, right? So in this example, it was, all right, I'm stressed. That needs to change, all right? And then the next step in the problem phase. So the problem phase is basically the first two of the stages. It's the cue and the craving fall into the problem phase. And then the response and the reward fall into the solution phase, which is when you actually take the action and you achieve the change that you require. All right. So going back to that example, the cue is stress. The craving is smoke a cigarette. And then the solution is to actually smoke the cigarette. And the reward is feeling less stress.
Yeah. And I mean, there's other examples here we could use as well with those four, because you need to understand these. There's four parts of it. Each one is a problem. Two of them are a problem, two of them are a solution. Your phone buzzes with a new text message, right? That's the cue. You want to learn the content of the message. That curiosity is very important. So then that's the craving. Then at that point, the action is you grab your phone and read the text message. And the reward is satisfying your craving to read the message. Now you've got closure onto that loop that was open. You know who it is, what they want, etc. So there's these examples. Everything that you do follows these four. And you know what's cool about this, Mark? I don't know if we're going to talk about this, but the dopamine spike. Is that something that's in the notes? This is a great time to bring it up.
I think this is a great time to bring it up. I don't think it's in the notes, but I'm glad that you brought that up.
Perfect. I'm going to just read this to you because this is from James Clear's book, The Atomic Habit. Not my own words here, but before a habit's learned, dopamine is released when the reward is expected for the first time around. Think about that. So before you've done this habit, you're getting satisfaction from the reward. Because what do you need? At the end of the day, you need a little bit of a break. And so you're like, hey, if I could get this break, that's exciting. Yep. That's the part that's exciting. Check this out. This really gets interesting. All right. The next time around, dopamine raises before taking action, immediately after a cue is recognized. This spike leads to a feeling of desire and a craving to take action whenever a cue is spotted. Once a habit is learned, dopamine will not rise when a reward is experienced because you already expected the reward. However, if you see a cue and expect the reward but do not get one, then dopamine will actually drop in disappointment. So how cool is this? Before you actually do the habit, before you've done the action to create the habit, the reward is what gives you the pleasure. Once you've done it a second time, it's the craving that gives you the pleasure.
Not the actual action.
Yeah, because now it's anticipated reward. So isn't that funny how now your spike level is actually by a craving, and not the outcome? And I think that's important, especially in a cigarette example, is that you're as happy as you will be in the craving phase before you even smoke the cigarette. So it's like, is it needed? But once it's a habit, if you do not get the reward after the craving, the dopamine spike is reversed to the same negative amount. So it's a disappointment. It's nuts. So what this is saying is cravings, once a habit is formed, is what actually gets you excited. And if you don't get the reward, you leave yourself in a negative emotional cycle once you've written the pattern. So I think it's important. The one takeaway from this is that at the beginning, before you form a habit of anything, before you form a pattern, you know, just realize that if you do it enough, you're taking the fun away from the reward. So ask yourself, is it worth it? Is this pattern worth it? This is why I'm so like cautious what I do on a daily basis. I know I have a lot of bad habits. I chew my nails. It's a terrible one. My mom's like, when I was younger, my mom used to tell me all these, you know, made up stories. Like, if you do this, this is going to happen. You're going to lose your head or your fingers are going to fall off. I still did it.
Yeah.
The craving was too strong.
Yeah, I still remember my parents telling me if you bite your nails, like they're gonna grow into like tree stumps.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Did you stop as a result?
No, I don't know what the exact translation is, but it's kind of like you're gonna have like bulbs on your fingers instead of your nails if you chew your nails.
Well, and that didn't stop you, right? Because you know what? Like I mentioned with the dopamine, when you don't get the reward, your dopamine falls off. And so once you form a habit, that's why it's called a habit, is because it has to be completed for you to get the reward in your subconscious mind. And the best way to do it is to not form a bad habit to begin with. But there is ways to break these habits once they're formed. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I just want to bring that dopamine part up.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the other things I just wanted to bring up here is an example as it relates to trading, because you guys might be wondering, all right, it's great that you're giving me this example of smoking a cigarette or...
A lot of traders smoke cigarettes, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's true. And here's an example as it relates to trading. So a really good example that I think a lot of the audience could relate to is somebody that tends to have the habit of adding to positions when they go against them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's say this is your first time doing it. You take a trade, it's going against you, you add to that position. And all you hope for it to do is for it to come back to your original entry so you can get out of the trade with, you know, without having to realize a loss and maybe even getting a little bit of profit, right? If this works once, all it takes is once. If this works once, your brain is going to remember that action, or rather it's going to remember that the action of adding to a losing position solved your problem of not wanting to take a loss. So What do you think is going to happen the next time you get into a similar situation? It's going to be autopiloted, right? You're almost going to add into that loser without even thinking about it. So let's break this down using the four stages, right? What's the cue? It's taking a trade and it going immediately into the red, right? What's your craving at that point? Your craving at that point is that you don't want to lose money on the position. What's your response? You martingale, or in layman's terms, you're adding to the position as it's going against you. And what's the reward? The market comes back and puts you into profit.
Yeah. You know, I like what you said there, Marky. I mean, I like a lot of things you say, but taking a trade that goes in the red, isn't it interesting that once you form a habit, it actually takes away from your options, right?
Yeah.
It take in the moment when you need to be the most rational, you lose rationality and now you're just executing a program. And this is the danger. This is why we talk about sim trading. I don't know what episode it is, but if you do control F, you could search it. The one on sim trading, why you overstay your welcome in sim trading. Yeah. Now you understand why you're actually not sim trading. It's called habit formation trading. Because it doesn't really matter what you're doing on sim. You think it's, oh, I'm going to treat it like real money, or I'm just going to practice. You're not practicing. I'm going to petition, we call this recording mode. You're recording habits even if you're doing sim trading. This is why when you spend too long in sim, you go to live and you say, I don't know what happened. I lost money. Well, because you're writing a habit that trading isn't really associated with an outcome of money, because that's what you've told yourself through sim. So you're writing these negative habits that don't serve you, and what you're doing is taking away from your options. Because Mark, when you said, what was the cue part of that? Take a trade that goes into the red. How many different things can you do when it goes in the red? A limitless amount. But if you have a habit, what is your brain going to do? Do the one that takes more energy to think about, or the one that's going to take you to the reward without having to think?
What happened last time that got me the reward? And it's going to autopilot.
Right? Exactly.
It's like the example of somebody that sits down in front of the screen, has their plan, and then ends up trading emotionally, and then looking back at their results when they're journaling, and then being like, wait, I don't remember doing all this stuff.
Yeah, who did this? It wasn't me.
Who did this? It wasn't me. And, you know, that is the habit. Those are the habits that you've kind of built up. And, you've touched on a point here as it relates to people that go into demo, get results that they're happy enough to transition into live trading with, and then they get into live trading and they're wondering, you know, I was killing it in demo, why can't I get the same, why can't I replicate those results in the live environment? And the reason for that is because a lot of what you do in demo is likely what you're not going to do in the live market, right? In demo, when there's no risk attached to trades, you know, you can take 4 or 5 trades with maybe like one lot. And then if you lose all those trades, you can take one more trade with 10 lots on and you're back in profit. Great. Are you going to do the same thing in live? Probably not, because now you've got risk capital, right? You've got capital at risk and you've also got your mindset.
Yeah. Now it's like now losing actually means something. Like now that you lose money, it's going to have an outcome, and you know that. No matter how seriously you treated your sim money, you know that it's not going to impact your well-being if you lose sim dollars.
Exactly.
Right? And I just want to do a little dive into this. Loss pattern is what I wrote down. I write these little notes that I just, you know, Marky hates because it means we don't follow the show notes a bit. But
I like your notes.
Thanks, man. So look at this. Let's say you go in the red with your first trading day ever. All right. And, you know, although this is new to you, that you're losing money potentially in trading, loss isn't new to you. And so what I would say is you bring your loss pattern from other areas of life into trading and your loss habits. Let me give you an example. Maybe your parents told you you lost a job at some point in your life, or they lost a job and now you picked up your values from them, you know, and when there's a loss, your cue might be, hey, you know, what's the craving? I want to get back to safety. I'm seeking safety. So the response is to take a job you're not happy with, but to get yourself to an outcome that at least gives you some level of guarantee. And the reward is, yay, I'm back to perceived safety. If that's your loss pattern that you've learned a long time ago from your parents or yourself or whatever other loss you might have had in your life, that translates to trading. It's the same thing, right? You're faced with a loss. Oh my God, I need to get back to safety. Your response is to, you know, unfortunately add more lots, because you're not looking to take the loss. You're looking to erase the loss while you have it. If taking the loss was how you got your reward and you said, hey, I took the loss, now let's move on to the next trade, you wouldn't have a problem. The problem is the habit is seeking the reward of safety, and not safety in at the end of the trading day, safety now with this trade, which means you double down. You know, so these loss patterns from any area of your life are brought into trading, which is what creates the losses. You're just, the sad part is you're executing your pattern that you've written around loss in other areas of your life on a market, which is the most efficient way to lose money.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very, very true. So now that you guys have a better idea of what a habit is, you know, what causes bad habits, the feedback loop that is basically what these habits consist of, let's take a moment now to identify some of the common bad habits in trading, you know, some of the more common ones that we see, and then we're going to break it down. We'll take a couple of these examples and then break them down following this four-stage cycle, and then talk you guys through how you can go about breaking those habits and then replacing them with good ones. Sound
good? Love it.
Sound good agenda. Sounds good. Awesome. So what are the most common bad habits that we tend to come across in trading? Number one, boredom trades, right? Taking boredom trades due to a lack of patience. Oftentimes, if you're not really getting the action that you want, you're going to get bored and you're going to crave action, right? So we're going to discuss this one as one of the examples. Another common bad habit is chasing trades due to FOMO. You know, maybe you don't take the trade when it's in your level, when it's formed your setup. And as a result of missing out on that one, you see it work out. And now, you know, you should have been on that original one. So now you've got fear of missing out. You want to jump in and you want to chase that trade. Another big one, another common one, revenge trading.
Huge.
This one is huge. Another big bad habit, moving stops and taking big losses. Right? I can't tell you how many traders we've come across that literally if they can get this under control, this single thing, if they can change that one habit, they would be profitable traders, right? Moving stops and taking big losses. Another one, cutting winners short. Another common one, risking too much money on any given trade. And finally, we've got giving back profits throughout the trading session, which basically means that you start the session off well, but you stick around. And in doing so, you tend to give back those profits and maybe even end up in the red, right? And so if you take a look at all of these habits, I want you guys to take a moment now and kind of reflect, self-reflect on your own journey, self-reflect on your own experiences, you know, this far up until today, and, you know, which one rings most true to you. Because, you know, if you're human, at least one of these habits is going to be part of your trading journey, right? So take a moment now to kind of reflect on your own journey, see which one reflects what your journey has looked like. And let's get into breaking these guys down by looking at the four stages and then discussing how you can go about breaking these. Because, hint, hint, a lot of what goes into breaking a bad habit is the polar opposite of what goes into making a good habit, right? So if we know how to make a good habit, we just have to do the opposite of that to break a bad habit.
Yeah. And, I just want to mention one thing, Marky.
I could see your pens going hot right there.
I just ran out of ink. I'm kidding. But all those habits, I think all bad habits in trading come down to either losing or missing out. Like there's only two things, really, at the end of the day. If you weren't afraid of losing or you didn't care about missing out.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
If you take, I think those are derivatives of what's losing cause you.
Stress. And stress, yeah.
All right. And what does the other one cause you? It comes out of boredom, right?
Missing out, yeah.
Fear of missing out. You're too bored sitting on the sidelines.
So have we narrowed down all trading problems into those two things technically? Because this might be the last episode.
It's the melting pot. Yeah.
This might be the last episode of Mind Over Markets. This is the de facto solution. But you're either like a lot of the problems are from losing or missing out.
Yeah.
All right. Boredom. And again, and loss, you know, being afraid of losing. So look at this. Do we have we ever had in our life times where we lost something before trading? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Have we had times in our life before trading that we've missed out? Yes. So we already likely have a pattern or a habit that we formed with dealing with these two things. And so as I look at this equation, cue, craving, response, and reward, you know, the cue is loss. I want to make it back, or loss reversion. I want to get back to break even. The other cue for missing out, or would be missing out, which means, oh my God, there's a perceived lack. I want to get that thing. So either one of these is the cue. The craving is to undo it as quickly as possible. And only the only part of the equation that's actually affected is the response. You just trade your way. You apply trading to an already emotional pattern you've established in other things. So I don't think this is a trading problem. I think it's a habit problem. Like, yeah. You need to ask yourself, last time you've lost stuff, what was the cue, craving, response, or reward? Because you're using trading to execute a habit that you've already had before trading, which is why you're losing or missing out. So find out, how is this habit formed? What does your habit look like for loss and your habit loop for missing out? And then that will help you apply it to trading more so than just thinking about these trading habits as a standalone thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a great point you bring up.
Yeah,
definitely a great point you bring up. Nonetheless, we're still going to break down these.
Yeah, these bad 100%. Habits. We should.
Yeah. So let's start off with taking boredom trades due to lack of patience. So what would be the cue there, guys? What do you guys think would be the cue? Well, the cue is the second word in the sentence. It's boredom.
Boredom.
Right? You're bored, right? What's the craving that goes when you're bored? What happens? What's the craving you get? Well, you want action. You want to be doing something. You want to be interacting with something, right? So the craving here is you want action, right? What is the response to wanting action and being bored? You take a trade, all right?
Simple enough. Any trade, not a good one, just anyone.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be a great trade by any means. It's you're bored. You know what? Oftentimes the boredom trades are not good trades. Those are the ones that you shouldn't be doing, right? And so if you've identified this habit, these are the four stages of it, right? So the first thing is you're bored. So that's the cue. If you can learn to identify the cue, you're going to be able to do a lot of work as far as breaking it and replacing that habit. So boredom is the cue. The craving is action. The response is taking a trade. And the reward is you got your action, right? Whether it was a good or bad trade, it doesn't matter. You've closed that loop.
Yeah. If it's a bad trade and you lost $100, you didn't lose $100. You paid $100 to get the reward of not being bored.
Exactly.
It's important to realize that. You're not losing. You're paying for a habit.
That's a great way to reframe that.
Yeah.
That's a great way to reframe that. So that is the first habit, taking boredom trades because of lack of patience. So we've identified the cue. We've identified the craving. We've identified the response and the reward. Now we're going to get into how to break these habits shortly. But keep these in mind, and especially the one that relates most to your journey. You know, listen closely to how we kind of break these down, because the way to break the habit is going to be covered shortly. So number two, chasing trades due to FOMO. All right. So what would you say the cue is there, Georgie?
You know, chasing trades due to fear of missing out is like the cue part that triggers you, I think, here is in the entire amount. You know, it's like, you don't want to miss out here. Like, you in life, every time you missed out, you kind of come to a conclusion on what you could have gotten. So it's, hey, I don't want to be the person that's behind, you know, the average person. I want to be on top. This is like the herd mentality. I want to be with everybody. So the cue for missing out is I want to be part of this market. So whether it goes up or down, I want to be on the winning side. I want to be part of it.
Yeah. I would agree. And the one thing I would add is I would say that the cue is more so, you know, if you take a look at it in reality, I think the cue would be just seeing a trade that you knew you should have taken.
Yeah.
Not being in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, not being in. So the cue is there's a setup that you had that you didn't take.
Right.
All right. That in my opinion would be the cue for this one. The craving.
That is true, actually, because this only happens when you miss the trade. This doesn't happen when you're bored.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So like the cue here is there's a setup that was valid and you didn't take it.
Right.
The craving here is obviously you should have been on it. Now you want to be part of it.
Yep.
So there's your craving. What's your response?
Buy it.
You buy it.
Or sell it. Just jump on board when it's the precise worst time.
There you go. Buy the tops and sell the bottoms like a pro. Like a pro. And then the reward is you're no longer chasing it.
Now you're in.
Now you're in it, right? So that is how chasing trades due to FOMO works. Revenge trading, the next one.
This is a good one.
This is a good one. All right. So in my opinion, the cue for revenge trading would be to take a loss.
Yeah.
I'd say it's taking a loss.
Or I think it's taking, well, yeah, a loss is the outcome for sure. But I think all of these other habits could trigger this one too.
Yes.
And I think they could trigger it in a much more like severe way. I think this is like the destructor of trading accounts.
Yeah, the revenge trading.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen people erase weeks, months worth of gains in a day or two as a result of revenge trading.
So I've done it myself.
Yeah.
In my early parts of my journey, especially more often.
So this is definitely one of the more common and the most dangerous ones. So the cue, you know, the cue can be a number of things, but I would say the cue for this one is, I would say taking a loss.
Yep.
You know, taking a loss. And the craving, when you take the loss, the craving is to make the money back. All right. And really the response in a majority of these habits is taking a trade.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why you should have a plan so you can avoid this.
Exactly. Right. So the cue here for revenge trading is taking the loss. The craving is wanting to get back into the green. The response is taking the trade. All right. And then the reward is you've taken the trade and you've tried to make the money back. All right.
You know, this is a really cool one because I think the revenge trading loop. Mm-hmm. The reward is, okay, I've done something to avenge my past trade, but I actually think it closes out another. This is like a nest in like an embedded loop, if you will. I think it actually closes the loop for the prior trade too, because your first trade will never be a revenge trade.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
In fact, I think that it's not only a loss, but it's a loss that you've taken when you didn't take a trade that was part of your plan. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, let's say you stray off the side and you're like, I'm going to get this. You jumped in and you're like, I'm going to just do this. It's not part of my plan, but it'll work out. And then you take a loss because now you have something to revenge against. Like, I'm going to get back at this market.
Yeah.
Right? It's really interesting because I think if it's a calculated loss, very rarely is it going to trigger revenge trading. But if it's one of those off-the-cuff trades that you bended all the rules just so you could get in, this is when that habit gets really nasty.
Exactly. And so the next one here is moving stops and taking big losses. And to be quite honest, the example I gave earlier on with regards to martingaling and adding to losing position, you know, I would say you can kind of put these two in the same category here. So moving stops and taking big losses. So the cue here would be, you know, moving a stop would be you get into a trade and it doesn't go in the direct. Not that it doesn't go in the direction you want, it doesn't do what you want right away.
Yeah.
It might not be that it goes straight into the red, but maybe it doesn't explode like you thought it did. And maybe it's just, it kind of lost the life. It's going sideways and you're, you know, should have done this, but it's not. I don't really want to cut it. I don't want to take the loss. So the cue is getting into a trade that doesn't go in your direction right away. All right. The craving here is I don't want to take a loss.
Right. Yeah.
And
we remember that ticket that came in? I'm in this position.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I sell this without taking a loss? What do you mean? The stock's down like 30%.
Yeah.
Should have thought about that when you bought it.
Exactly. Right. So the moving stops and taking big losses. So the cue here is you're in a trade that's not going the way that you want it to go. All right. The craving is to not take a loss on it. The response is to either move the stop or, you know, how many times have you gone into a trade? It's not going in your direction right away, but it's not stopping you out. And you're saying, you know what? I'm going to give it a little bit more space. All right. Mm-hmm. That's the habit that you've built by doing this in the past, right? The response to the craving of not wanting to take a loss is to either move the stop or to cancel the stop entirely, right? And what is the result, or rather, what is the reward?
Hope. Well,
hope. Exactly. Hope. You've given it more space. That doesn't mean it's...
Yeah, doesn't mean it's going to work.
Exactly. It doesn't mean it's going to work, but you've given yourself the hope, right? The reward is the hope that it's not going to stop you out and that you're not going to take a loss by effectively increasing your risk.
I just got a dark image. I just imagine somebody in the middle of the ocean in a storm with like absolutely no help nearby, right? Limited amount of energy. You go under the water. You just have enough energy to kick back up to take a breath of one more air. And yeah, you're living for another couple seconds. But the outcome is really grim.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. I just got this dark visual I thought I'd share with you. That's how I think of moving stops. Like that, to me, it's, you know, I've never moved a stop that I felt good about, win or lose.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks.
Yeah, I would tend to agree on that point. So the next one here, the next bad habit is cutting winter short. All right. So this is kind of the opposite of you moving your stops, right? So I would say the cue for this one is you get into a trade and this would kind of be the opposite of the moving stops. It might be hovering around your take profit. All right, hovering between your take profit and your entry point.
Mm-hmm.
And the craving here is usually as a result from, I think what Georgie said earlier, is the trade before.
Yeah.
Right. If you had trades before that you lost, right? In this case where you've now got open profits on the table, you're gonna wanna crystallize those profits, right? Whether it doesn't have to go to your full bracket, but as soon as you see profit on the table, you're going to want to crystallize it. So the craving is to crystallize the profit, right? So what is your response?
Take a trade.
You close the trade out, yeah. Right? You close the trade out and the reward is now you've crystallized that profit, but you haven't necessarily closed that loop, right? Because now this opens up to, you know, you could be chasing now because you took the trade, you had open profits, you didn't want those to erase, you closed it out, you satisfied the queue, right? You satisfied that craving, but now this opens up to chasing the trade because now you see, oh man, I could have been on for so much more. I've left so much money on the table. Let me jump back in.
Yeah, I think there's only two types of traders that cut winners short. One of them that quantifies it, like they have outcomes when they disqualify the trade. When certain things that they liked about the trade starts changing, they get out. Like, you know, I think there's no reasonable expectation of this target. Their target expectation changes in real time, you know, and that's okay to cut the winner short. Then I think the other people that cut the winner short are the ones that lose so much that this one win is a miracle.
Yeah.
Like, let me put this on the book. Like, it's time to win one, for goodness sake, and they'll cut the winner short. So I think there's a good time to cut, and then there's a time where you're cutting just to, you know, to feed the ego, just so you're around again for the next day. Yeah, the next one is risking too much on any given trade. All right, this is an interesting one as well. So I think, you know, you could be risking a lot on a day you're down or risking on one just starting out. You're looking for a ton of profit. I think the cue here for risking too much on a given trade is you want this like windfall profit. You need results fast.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of those like... I just thought of an example from, I can't share this one on air, Sid. So risking too much on any given trade, you want this big reward. And the cue is, hey, I could, with this profession, I can make a lot of money quickly. All right. The craving is that return. You look at, you know, what are you going to do with this money? You know, if you're risking too much, you're not doing it to lose big. You're doing it to win big. No one risks big to lose big.
Yeah.
You know, nobody ever. And so the craving is a giant reward. The craving isn't financial. You want the money, but what you're really craving is the relief. The relief of maybe erasing 3 weeks of crappy trades in just one. It's like a fast track to neutral, you know? So you crave that big return and that big kind of ego boost saying, hey, I still know what I'm doing. I just erased all my losses. The response is, once again, you take a trade bigger than what you should be doing. And then the reward there is the potential for you to make a lot of money. We know how that goes, right? What ends up happening? You take a huge loss. Now what do? Well, you trigger the habit of you have a big loss. I'd like to make it back. That sounds like the revenge trading habit. But these habits, once one completes, oftentimes completes in the exact same way that another one starts. Hence why you blow out your account. And then you're like, who did this? Your habit system did it, not you, logically. You wouldn't do something so stupid, not knowingly, but your habits aren't stupid. Your habits are done for effectiveness. And so this one's interesting because they all kind of blend in, right? One leads into the other.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll discuss that a little bit shortly.
Damn it. Front running this thing.
Yeah. Getting excited. I like it. I like it. When the value's there, we get excited. And so the last bad habit here we're going to discuss is giving back profits throughout the trading session. All right. So now the cue here is, in my opinion, you know, you're up and you want more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you're up on the day. You could be saying, you know, markets are moving well today. I'm up. I'd say the craving is, I want to say it's like greed.
It's
not having enough, but I need more. Like I need more, or I've got more trades and I want to keep going. Like I'm doing good, but I want to keep, maybe go for a record day. I don't know.
Yeah. Can I throw one in there? I think it's ego too.
That's a good one.
I think you're craving to feed your ego.
That's a good one.
You know, because if you have enough and the day's been good according to strategy, why keep going?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? And we often say, I think we mentioned it in the last episode or two shows ago, where if you are having a good day, you know, you can reward yourself by giving yourself one more trade, right? And if you lose that trade, you're gone for the day. You're done for the day. You know, once you hit your profit target for a day, for example, and you've got, say, five trades on the books, you can give yourself one more trade. But if that one extra trade that you take above and beyond your profit target loses, right, if you take a stop on that, you are done for the day. The unfortunate reality is that once you take that first stop, all right, you keep going.
It never stops with the stop.
And it never stops with the stop.
Stop exactly. Loss should be named Start Bad Habit.
Yeah. Start Bad Habit. So again, the cue here is you're having a good day, you're up. The craving is you want to satisfy the ego by going for more. Your response is taking more trades.
Of course.
And the reward. The reward is a good question, right? What would be the reward in this case? What do you think, Georgie?
I think ego fulfillment. The reward is that you tried one more time. Like, you know, you at least gave yourself an opportunity. The reward here is the small likelihood that you, how you would have felt if you won one more, ignoring the outcome of losing one. You know, it's like, it's just satisfying that ego, saying I'm so good. I found another trade. It's kind of like doing more work. You know, it's like I found another opportunity. Yay me. But no, you, because then it just leads to other habits. And you know, all of these habits, Mark, the response has all been trading. That just kind of go on this adventure with me really quickly. It's a short one.
I like adventures.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a good adventure? What if the response to all these habits, what if you went in, now you know how to code a habit and break it down. What if your response became non-trading related? What if you found a different way to respond to close off some of these loops? Imagine the wonders that would do for your account. You know, and then that's what's important. It's probably better to write a better habit and break down the bad ones, but all you have to do is change the response. Without that response on trading, you know, you wouldn't lose. You could get a similar reward.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do definitely agree with that. And now that we've kind of covered the breakdown of the bad habits and we've broken them down through the four stages, giving you guys some examples, let's discuss how to break a bad habit, right? Because this is important. And what I want to preface this with?
Preface. Immigrant, me.
Tomato, tomato. What I want to preface this with is that, you know, it's breaking a habit. I wouldn't say you want to break a habit. You want to replace a bad habit, right? It's not so much about breaking it. It's about replacing it. Or as far as, you know, actually implementing it, it's a lot easier to replace a bad habit with a good one than it is to just break it and not replace it with anything. So each of the four stages that we kind of mentioned above with regards to the feedback loop, they can be considered like a domino. All right. And Georgie kind of alluded to this just before we jumped into this part of the topic, is that each one of these things is like a domino in the sense that it influences human behavior. And when one of the dominoes falls, it triggers a series of decisions that are either going to help you or they're going to hurt you. And the reality of the fact is that all of those decisions happen within a fraction of a second, right? It's all a subconscious feedback loop. You're not even conscious of it, right? So the first step to really breaking a bad habit is being aware to it, right? Is having awareness of it. So how do you build awareness? Well, ask yourself, you know, what does the bad habit, when does the bad habit actually happen? What triggers the behavior and causes it to start, right? So we gave you guys the examples of the common bad trading habits, and we gave you guys examples of cues for those habits, right? So this is where the awareness portion comes in, right? If you are aware that after taking a loss, you tend to take a revenge trade, you know your cue, all right? And that's the first step, is having awareness to that and understanding where the triggers come from and what causes it, all right? So if you eliminate the cue, guess what? The feedback loop can't start.
There is no habit anymore.
There is no habit. If you reduce the craving, then you won't be able, then you won't experience the motivation to actually act, all right? If you make the response or the behavior that you take, if you make it difficult, then it's not going to be something you're going to be able to do. And finally, if the rewards don't satisfy your desire, you won't be motivated to do it again in the future, right? Without the first three steps, a behavior cannot occur. And without all four of the steps, a behavior will not be repeated.
And with the first two, you could most likely stop the trade from happening, because the third step is when the response was a trade.
Exactly.
So the first two are the critical ones here.
The first two are the critical ones, right? And so it's the awareness. You know, I watched a little video with regards to this topic, and some really good insight on it was that the awareness, like we said, awareness is the first step. And we can go one step further and say that if you're not only aware of the cue, but you're aware of the consequences, right? If you have awareness of the consequences of that habit, that can motivate you to change, right? If you're aware of all of the negative consequences around that trading behavior, then that is what the awareness motivates us towards, right? It puts us in a different state of mind where we suddenly see this negative pattern as something we want to stay as far away from as possible. And this was actually a recommendation from Dr. Steinberger, which we commonly quote on our show. And he kind of gave the example of these bad habits that you have, as the way that he said it was, you kind of want to visualize your negative trading patterns as an enemy, you know, an enemy that, you know, it could be a person that you dislike. You know, we tend to stay away from those kinds of vibrations, but I thought this example was pretty interesting. You know, it could be anything. It could be like, I don't know, maybe your favorite soccer team or your favorite sports team. It could be their biggest rival, right? Mm-hmm. Visualize that negative trading pattern as an enemy. Like, literally visualize all of the negative consequences that it's caused you in the past, all the emotional pain, all the, you know, the pain of lost capital. This is the one thing that stands in the way of your trading success. All right. So if you visualize something as your enemy, are you likely to buy into it?
No,
probably not. Right. So you want to visualize this and this problem as an enemy you've had in your life. And you want to think of your trading pattern as that person or that thing. And that, you know, that should naturally get you to kind of break that habit.
Love it. I mean, another thing we could add on there on habit breaking is, you know, keep a habit journal. So now that you know what kind of habits there are, let's say you have five trades. You have trade one, two, three, four, five. You know, trade one, then they great. It was according to the plan. Trade two, it was a habit trade. What type? It was, you know, FOMO. All right. So that's great. Just put that in the spreadsheet. Trade three, according to plan. Trade four, you know, it could be a revenge trade, another habit trade, a negative habit trade, revenge trade. Tally them up for a month and then find out which ones you're more prone to, which ones generated the most losses. You can't undo and redo all the patterns at once or habits. It's going to be hard, but the ones that are costing you the most money are probably going to be recurring. So with that journal, at the end of the day, you got to add an extra column in your spreadsheet. Be like, this was a negative habit trade. Find out which ones are costing you money, and then work on the most important ones first, work backwards, because that's how you get better results. Two ways to make more money trading: make more money or lose less. Simple. but so difficult.
Exactly. Simple, but difficult. And so to wrap up here, we are going to give you guys, you know, we're going to break down one example from those, that list of the common trading habits, and kind of walk you through how to break it. All right. So I think, what do you think we should do, George? The boredom trades one, I think, could be a good one.
Yeah, let's do that one. Revenge trading, they're all good. Let's just do each one of them. Make this a 4-hour podcast.
All right, let's start. So let's start here. We've got a little list in front of us, and we're going to break it down interactively here. All right, so we're going to use the example of the trading habit, taking boredom trades because of lack of patience. All right, so step number one, we want to make it invisible. All right, we want to reduce the exposure to it. We want to remove the cues of this bad habit from our environment.
What was the cue?
Boredom.
A boredom trade. So you're bored.
Yeah. So okay. I think it's a good idea to list them all again. Yeah. So the cue is boredom.
Yeah.
All right. The craving is action. You want to be part of the action. I want action. The response is taking a trade. Right, taking a boredom trade. And this, again, doesn't necessarily have to be a good trade. More times than not, it is a bad trade.
Yep.
And the reward is you have satisfied your craving for action.
You did something.
Mm-hmm. For action.
That's good. Now we're working through this.
Let's do it.
Two pens moving, scratching on paper. Feels so productive.
I love it. So, reduce exposure, remove the cues of your bad habits from your environment. All right. So how do you remove the cues? How do you remove boredom from your environment?
I got a way. Create a list of what you'll be doing. Create a plan of what you'll be doing when you're not in a trade. Right? Because when you have no trades, that's when people get bored. No one's ever gotten bored while they're in a trade. So you get bored while we're waiting for a trade. That could be because the market's slow, or maybe your plan doesn't have a trade for you in the near future. So have a plan of what you're going to be doing in between trades. We plan so much for the trades, but what about what we do as we wait? And I think for me, that's usually scanning markets. I'm looking for ES for a trade. I'll look at NASDAQ. If, you know, there's nothing there, I'll take a look at some of the stocks. I'll read some of the news. Everything I'm doing is market related, but it's removing me from boredom by giving me something to do.
Yeah. You know, some people like to, while they're waiting for their levels to get hit, they'll go on Amazon. You know,
not guilty.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I mentioned that. But that's a perfect example there of how you can identify that bad habit and you remove that cue, right? So as soon as you start getting bored watching the markets, you know, okay, here's how I'm going to plan around that. And the interesting thing with this one, especially for this habit in itself, is that, you know, the time you spend between waiting, between your analysis and between the level, the market coming into your zone, that is, I'd say 80% of trading. And I'd say that's where 80% of people screw up.
Yeah.
Is the part between the analysis and waiting for their levels to get hit.
The problem with this, with the trading industry, is that, like you said, 80% of the time you're not trading. The job is not doing the job 80% of the time. And that's how you know you're doing the job well. Let that sink in for a little
bit. Exactly. So that is the first step there. You want to make that cue invisible. All right. And so what we've done here is we've identified the cue as boredom. How do we make it invisible? You make a plan as to what you're going to be doing while you're waiting for your zones to get hit. All right. The next step is addressing that craving. All right. So the craving in this example is wanting action. You know, you want to be in a trade. And so the step here is to reframe your mindset. All right. You want to highlight the benefits of avoiding your bad habits. All right. And, you know, said differently, you can highlight the ways that this habit or this craving is hurting you. Right. So I want action. What are the benefits of avoiding this habit? All right. The benefits of avoiding this habit is you're going to be following your plan. Right, that's one of them. You're going to be following your plan. What is your job as a trader? Is it to make money? Is it to lose money? Or is it to follow your plan?
Follow the plan. That was so easy.
I thought you were going to leave me hanging there.
I was like, well, wait a minute. Is this a catch? Or is this like one of those tests?
Yeah. So what would be the benefits of avoiding boredom trades? Well, you're going to be following your plan. You are going to be taking high probability setups.
You're going to be doing what professional traders do, exactly. Which is that. And you know what the biggest benefit is? You're going to be learning because you're not going to be, you know, boredom is a time waster. But what you're going to be doing is because you'll be analyzing, looking at multiple markets, you'll be learning market correlation. You'll be learning news items. Wherever you direct your attention to where you normally would have been bored, you're going to be learning that.
Exactly. So that there is step number two in breaking that habit is to highlight the benefits of avoiding your bad habit. So we've done that here. The next step we've got to address here is the response. All right. And so the response in this example was to you're taking the boredom trade, right? So the cue is boredom. You want action. The response is I take a boredom trade. Now, what you want to do in this one is you want to increase the friction. All right. You want to increase the number of steps between you and that bad habit. And even further, you want to have a commitment device. All right. You want to restrict your future choices to the ones that are going to benefit you. So in this case, you want to make it more difficult to take a boredom trade. How can you do that? You can set a timer, maybe. You can lock your account, you know, lock the platform while the market's not in your zones. You can maybe not sign up, but you can maybe put in another, what am I trying to get at here? You can put in like another step to putting in the order.
I got some examples there.
Yeah.
You could fill out a trading ticket. That way you could, you know, ask yourself these questions on the trading ticket. What are your qualifiers? If you have no qualifiers, it's probably a boredom trade.
Yeah.
If there's no reason you like this trade as you fill out a trading ticket, then you really don't like this trade for a plan purpose. You like it for a boredom purpose. So creating a trading ticket with, hey, what are the four reasons? It's called the qualifiers, qualify the trade.
Yeah.
What are four reasons I like this trade? What's working in my favor? Writing it down puts that extra step of you separating you from an idea to action, which at the beginning is very important, right? It quantifies your thought process. Also, put a box in on the ticket that says this is a ticket and I've reviewed my trading plan before submitting it. That way you're consciously admitting, hey, you know what? This is a planned trade. This isn't one outside the scope of what I'm planning to do. And until you can check that box, you can't do the trade. Now you could lie to yourself and check it off, but there's consequences for lying to yourself. And so, you know, you're not going to be inclined to do that. So just like Mark said, put in an extra step, you know, boredom trades. And these boredom trades usually play out when you're doing nothing and there's very little qualifiers. And the boredom trades from thought to execution are the shortest time frame of any other trade.
Exactly. And this is the reason why in this stage of the feedback loop, you really want to put those additional layers in, because how easy is it to take a boredom trade from thought, I'm bored, bam, you just touch a little button on the mouse and you're in the trade.
Yep.
Right. And the whole idea of this exercise in particular, with step number three here, is to give yourself those added layers. Like Georgie said, the ticket is a great, great idea. If you cannot complete that ticket, if the idea does not check off all of your qualifiers, there's no trade. Mm-hmm. The sole action of going through the qualifiers before taking the trade is giving you the increased friction, right? It's increasing the number of steps between thought to trade, right? Whereas before you would board, you had that thought that you're bored, you want that action, you click the mouse, now you're increasing the number of steps it takes to go from being bored, you know, to trying to click the mouse. And between the cue, the craving, and the response, this way you're going to be better able to at least give yourself a chance and make sure that there are qualifiers before you take the trade. There's nothing there, there's no trade. Now, the last bit.
The last bit.
The last bit. For the reward, like we said earlier on, let me just find where that was exactly. So as it relates to the reward effectively closes the feedback loop, right? So without all four of these steps, a behavior will not be repeated. And so what did we say about the reward, right? If if the reward is not satisfy your desire, then you're not going to be motivated to do it again in the future. So that is what you got to do with this one. You want to make it unsatisfying to respond to your cue, right? And how can you do that? Well, one of the ways you can do that is to get an accountability partner. You know, you often hear us mentioning how important accountability is. We mentioned that in our episode on the benefits of a trading community, and we've mentioned it in a number of other episodes, right? Accountability is so huge, and you know, if you can't be self-accountable, ask someone to be your accountability partner. Right? Ask them to watch your behavior, because you know, oftentimes we're not really true to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? Things that we wouldn't do to other people's money, or just in general, things that we say to ourselves or do for our own benefits or against our own benefits, we wouldn't do to other people. So yeah. Having that accountability partner, you know, if you're not accountable to yourself, will definitely help you with making this unsatisfying. Because imagine taking a boredom trade and then having to go to your accountability partner at the end of the day and explaining why you took that trade. Not only did you probably lose money on that trade, and there was likely no qualifiers for that trade, now you're going to have to explain that whole process to somebody else, and you're going to have to relive it.
And how damaging is that for your psychology? You know, losing money is the easy part in this industry.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I also wrote community. It doesn't have to be just one person. It's preferable, but if you're in a community that would be able to give you some feedback or be accountable to another community, to a community other than yourself, you know, this helps. This habit, most bad habits happen to people who don't share their results. They just do it in the bedroom by themselves. This is a team sport. I think if you don't realize this is a team sport, you do now, hopefully. Look how much work this was for one habit.
Exactly. And we're not done. Now, the last thing you can kind of do on top of getting an accountability partner is, you know, it's more so with regards to self-accountability, and it's creating a habit contract. All right? Make the costs of your bad habit public and painful. So what that means is you can do something like having your accountability partner and say, I'm gonna make a contract that if I take a boredom trade, I'm gonna send you $10 every time I break that habit.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Or charity. Send it
or to charity. Yeah. I like that idea better. That's definitely a better idea, George.
Because you're turning it into your negative is at least a positive. Somewhere. Just make sure your goal isn't to give away a lot of money to charity, because
that's going
to
be a fast track. That's going to be a fast track, right? So you get the point here. All right. I hope you guys get the point here, is that you want to make it as unsatisfying as possible when you consider, or when that cue comes up. Because if you're not going to get any satisfaction for doing the actual habit, there's going to be no reason for you to actually do it. Right? You're not going to have the motivation for it.
I love how you put break down each one from above if time permits. That's very ambitious, Mark.
It was an ambitious goal, but I still think we did a decent job here covering everything we had planned. And unless you've got anything else to add, let's wrap this bad boy up.
That's it. I've had a blast on this one. Thank you, guys. And I hope you realize how important habits are. Now you're more aware of them. You know how to create good ones. You know how to adjust bad ones. And at the end of the day, you know the importance of them. So you should definitely have some follow-up work as a result of this. So enjoy doing it. I hope you have some good self-reflective time. And I hope you come to some massive, mind-blowing breakthroughs.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. So that's going to be everything for today's episode, Trade Pros. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen. As always, if you can think of one person that might find today's message particularly helpful, please feel free to share this with them. Also, if you guys are enjoying the podcast, we put in blood, sweat, and tears to put this thing together. So if you guys can do us a big favor, just jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. That would be greatly appreciated. Until next time, guys, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.